This is Drunk with the Only Saints I Know,
by Victoria P., or Muses Fool, read by Isweden
and Rena Jenkins.
Summary: 5 drinks Rex has had over the years. 1. Camino. Rex isn't sure how old he is the first time he has a drink. He looks older than he is, which is true of all of his brothers, and it's not like any of them are checking ID. CT 1030 brews beer in the barracks. Rumor has it he uses Kaminoan kelp harvested by aqua troopers. It does have a briny, pungent aftertaste, but Rex drinks enough not to care. The salt tastes like victory on his tongue. He's made captain, and that's worth celebrating, though he wakes up with a hangover. It's a lesson he learned early. Everything comes with a price. 2. The Resolute. Once they're in the thick of things, the days all start to look the same. There are long stretches of boredom aboard the Resolute, and brief bursts of terror and adrenaline when they make planetfall, punctuated by short visits to the infirmary and long hours on the bridge. Their losses are devastating, and even their victories come at great cost. Still, they celebrate when they can. Today, Ryloth is free, and they're alive.
I've been saving this for a special occasion,
General Kenobi says, plunking a bottle of Corellian whiskey down onto the table where Rex is sitting with General Skywalker and Commander Tano.
And I think this is that occasion.
Rex gets 4 glasses from the credenza, but hesitates when General Skywalker says,
I don't think Snips is old enough. I don't think your face is old enough,
Commander Tano mutters. Then, slightly louder,
if Rex is old enough, I'm old enough. I'll allow it,
Skywalker says magnanimously, as if he were ever actually going to stop it when Kenobi obviously already approved. They toast to the fallen, brothers, Twi'leks, and Jedi alike. It's a moment Rex treasures, and one he'll revisit over and over as the years pass. 3. Seelos. After the Republic falls, after Order 66, after every damn thing goes to hell, Rex drinks himself sick in every cantina he comes across. Rotgut whiskey alone in a pod hotel on Malastair, cheap Felucian moonshine in a bar on Savarine, sickly sweet Pantoran wine in a saloon on Ord Mantell. He drinks to his fallen brothers, to Cody and Fives and Dogma. He drinks to his lost Jedi, to Kenobi and Skywalker and Tano, who might still be alive, but he'll probably never know. He finds Wolf and Gregor in the aftermath, and they land on Seelos, far from everything they've ever known. Gregor brews a potent liquor made from the fermented fruit of the local cacti, which only ripen in the rainy season. They spend many a long night drinking and remembering, and then drinking and forgetting. There's a movement, he knows, a rebellion to free the galaxy from the Emperor's heavy hand, and he might even know some of the people involved. But Rex is done fighting for freedom or believing in a cause. He has his brothers, possibly the only ones left, and a small, quiet life trying to survive. It's more than most people get. 4. Adalon. Rex thought he was done with fighting, done with causes, but when Ahsoka walks back into his life, he drops everything to follow her. Because it's the right thing to do. Because it honors the memory of his general. Because it's the only thing he's ever been truly good at, and even with nightmares and shaking hands and a body that's old before its time, he's still one of the best there's ever been. Wolf and Gregor watch him go, and reserve judgment, though he imagines he'll be the topic of conversation for the next few nights. He finds he doesn't care. He makes a new home for himself with the Ghost Crew, and then with Phoenix Squadron. There's Ahsoka, of course. He'd follow her off the edge of the galaxy if she asked. And Kanan, and Ezra too. It feels good, right, to fight beside Jedi again, even if they're not the old Jedi of the Republic. It's not like Rex's Jedi had ever been traditional. But there's Hera and Sabine and Zeb and Chopper too, who on good days reminds him of R2 and on bad days really reminds him of R2. Even after the base is established and other people join them, the ghost crew sits down together as a family for dinner and they welcome him in. One evening, after Ezra has cleaned away the remains of dinner, Hera brings an icy bottle of Shesherillian vodka and 6 shot glasses over to the table.
Where did you get this?
Sabine asks, looking at the bottle in surprise.
I have my ways.
Kanan smiles slyly.
It's not every day a girl turns 19,
Hera adds.
We should celebrate.
She pours a shot for each of them and then raises her glass.
To Sabine.
The vodka is cold and sharp and smooth at the same time, and it slides down Rex's throat like ice and then burns warm in his belly. It makes him feel young and ancient at the same time. 19 seems so long ago, and yet, chronologically, he's only a few years older. He shakes his head. It's too soon to be maudlin. Needs a few more shots for that. He reaches for the bottle and pours another round.
To Sabine,
he says, grinning and toasting her. Being able to share in joyful moments with them is well worth the headache in the morning. 5. Endor. After the second Death Star has been blown out of the sky and the Emperor has been defeated, Rex grabs a bottle of Sunberry wine from the stash Kes Dameron ferried down to the planet for his Pathfinders and sets out to find Commander Skywalker. He hasn't spent much time with the young man, but just knowing his general's son was fighting on their side gave Rex heart. He isn't surprised when he finds the kid with Princess Leia and General Solo. And that's where he usually is. He looks a little worse for wear, but, don't they all?
Captain Rex.
The princess calls from where she's lounging between Solo and Skywalker.
Come join us.
Rex salutes smartly.
That was the plan, Your Highness.
He turns to Commander Skywalker.
I'm glad you survived, sir. I've been wanting to speak with you.
Skywalker straightens up warily.
Is everything all right, Captain? Better now that the Emperor's dead. I'll drink to that,
Solo says, raising a bottle to his lips. He sighs in disappointment when he realizes it's empty.
Here,
Rex says, offering him the bottle of wine. The princess grins.
You're a lifesaver, Captain.
Rex settles himself gently on the ground, trying not to wince at the pain in his aging bones.
It's been said, Your Highness.
He accepts the bottle back when Solo hands it to him, takes a swig, and passes it to the princess.
What can I do for you?
Skywalker asks, leaning forward. There's an earnestness to him that makes Rex's heart ache in remembrance. He smiles, but is afraid it comes out more like a sad grimace.
I wanted to tell you. I fought with General Skywalker, your father, in the Clone Wars. It was an honor to serve with him, and it's an honor to serve with you.
Skywalker looks shocked, but pleased. Princess Leia looks shocked and appalled. She snags the bottle from Skywalker and takes another long swig.
Your Highness? It's okay,
Skywalker says, taking the princess's free hand.
It's not common knowledge, but Leia is my twin sister. We were raised separately to keep us safe from the Emperor. That makes a lot of sense.
He glances back and forth between them.
I can definitely see that. Can you?
Solo asks, surprised. Rex ignores him.
General Skywalker, he'd have been so proud of you. I know.
Skywalker says softly. He looks away, his mouth curving into a melancholy smile. Princess Leia hands him the bottle, and he drinks.
Did you know Ben, too? Ben Kenobi? I did.
Rex huffs in amusement, remembering some of the stunts they'd pulled, the victories they'd won, the good times amid the bad, the pain eased by the passage of time.
They were legendary. I bet.
Solo says. He pulls the princess closer, and she rests her head on his chest. Rex wonders idly who won the betting pool about their relationship before Skywalker brings him back to the conversation at hand.
Ben told me he was a great pilot.
Rex's laugh this time is louder and less sad.
He sure knew how to crash a ship. I could tell you stories.
Skywalker's smile turns eager.
I'd like that.
He keeps hold of Princess Leia's hand. She gives him a look Rex can't interpret, but doesn't try to pull free. He shifts, trying to find a more comfortable position on the muddy ground, and holds out a hand for the wine. He takes a drink, and wishes he'd brought more than one bottle. Telling stories is thirsty work, and he's got a lot of stories to tell.
The end. Reader's notes. This podfic was recorded in a hotel room in Disney World. The weekend that Rena Jenkins and De Sweden and Bedlam Sport went to Galaxy's Edge. You can probably hear Bedlam Sport packing in the background if I don't do noise removal. We'll see how much I feel about that. I have been sick this entire weekend. That is why De Sweden did the heavy lifting on this one. The cover art for this podfic is one of a space cocktail served at Oga's Cantina, because what is more everything of this story than a space cocktail about a story about drinking?
It's very fitting.
It's a very good job. I'm very excited. It's been exhausting. Anyway, thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you for listening.
I hope you enjoyed it, and
bye.
Have a nice day. And we're off.